my things up. So the Apostles, chapter 16, and I begin with verse 16. So Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, and verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. We are thinking about life's really good things. Our concern this morning is whether you know them and whether you possess them or whether you are ignorant of them. Life's really good things. And this narrative shows us that it's sadly not obvious to people. So people miss that very easily. We want to focus on this experience of this young lady here that Apostle Paul met. And this is Paul's second missionary journey. He had finished the first one and he started the second, going around the world preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's in Philippi, the first European city to hear the gospel. So Philippi, more than Philippi, we are told, is now really almost an abandoned village in our northeast of Greece. And that was the place the Apostle Paul went because the Lord called him to that place to go and preach the gospel there. And it's a capital city, therefore a very prosperous city, possibly like Accra, maybe not of this size in those days, but a prosperous city with business activity, because I hear a woman that traveled all the way from Thyatira to this place to sell a cloth. And so this is a very busy city, and you have all kinds of people in here. And you have this young girl who is in this very unfortunate situation. She's a demon-possessed person. In her case, is what we are thinking of now. Apostle Paul was sharing the person you know. We did kind I call me and me a good or a cocaine radiasum a fee or the no abbey me yansa or pojina home birka crap. No, I share a seer the atosumi no, no, I will call your friend Philippa Samreno on any crow, a dick come with Europe, a moti radiasum. Now, young girl here, not a war problem, a demon possession. And our concern is to look at her situation covered by what seems to be an advantage, which is a very, very telling situation for us. So look at the verse there in verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, when the Apostle Paul and his team got to Philippi, they decided to explore places that they knew people gathered already. It was natural. And there were these women that would gather on a riverside to pray. So these are very religious women who would know that they didn't know the Lord as such, but they were religious women, and they would go to these places to pray. And Apostle Paul came to them. And while he was on his way going, there was this young lady who was a demon-possessed person who was crying after them. We are told what she was saying then, verse 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who show us the way of salvation." She's a demon-possessed person. What is demon possession in the Bible? And only the Bible can be authoritative. All other ideas will only be a guesswork. People only say, imagine all manner of things and say them. Only the Bible tells us why. Only God knows all the spirit well. He only has a perfect knowledge of the spirit. But we are mere humans, my dear friends. It doesn't matter how hard we try. We are flesh and blood. We will never go beyond that. And will ever remain there. And so we only know as we are told. We will never know anything about the spirit realm except that which God himself tells us, because he made the spirit realm and he knows all the activities there. Demon possession in the Bible, we are shown of two parts of them, two aspects of them, or at least two descriptions of them. The first kind, they are described as people physically oppressed. So there's some physical condition that a person goes through, which is actually the instrument of Satan to oppress that person and make her life miserable. So such a person may perhaps be a person who is thrown down into a fit, or is made almost like a mad person. He loses his reason, he loses his capabilities to think. And so he loses his natural human capabilities. That makes the person very miserable, doesn't it? And so that's one description the Bible gives us. The other description is like this one, is when the demons give this person some supernatural capabilities, such as this younger. We are told that she has the capacity for soothsaying. Soothsaying involves being able to tell things that people cannot tell by physical sight. So they can tell you if I should underscore this, if God should permit them, and I will explain why God sometimes permits them to succeed. If God should permit them, they can tell you things about yourself. They've never met you, but they can tell you perhaps the name of your mother. They can tell you the kind of job you do and things like this. Now, they have this capability, and the purpose of that is to actually deceive and to make you dependent upon them. If you become dependent upon them and they have to give you directions about life, what to do and what not to do, where to go and where not to go, you become dependent upon them, then of course their master, Satan himself, becomes the one who rules your life. So you become all the more hateful to God and cut off from God more and more. And so that's their sad situation. It seems outwardly it makes them appear superhuman and admired, but actually, they are miserable people, and their condition is very sad, because definitely sometimes they would not always get it right. Sometimes they would think that their master is the father of all lies, we are told, and so sometimes they will mix their statement with some lies which we cannot see. And there will be the hook there to really get us away from the Lord. And so that's the scheme with which they work. So these are the two descriptions that the Bible gives us. When people tell you that demons are really flying in the night and drinking blood, all these are nonsense. Because they are never taught in the Bible anyway. And the Lord would have told us. Because this, he meant his Bible to be authoritative, to tell us everything we needed to know about the spirit. Let me do a passage in Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah, if you can't get to that quickly, never mind. I'll read that to you. Prophet Isaiah chapter 8 and verses 19. You see what the Lord does about these things here. So Isaiah chapter 8 verses 18, verses 19 and 20. Listen to these. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that matter, should not the people seek unto thee our God? Should not God be the one we seek after? Should we go to such persons? He is not. For the living to the dead, should the living seek help from the dead? Because these persons who are possessed claim to have access to the dead and to get information from the dead. They can bring you messages, supposedly, from your dead auntie or dead grandmother or something like this. And they'll be able to color it with some background about your grandmother's life that will make it so plausible, so possibly true in your eyes. So God says, should we seek them? He says, no. But what should we do? Verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. If they will speak according to the Bible, they are speaking out of darkness. There's something fishy in that. There's a lie intertwined into that, which you may not know unless you know your Bible. You see, they can never come to you telling you truth. It's not possible. Satan can never tell you truth, pure truth. It's beyond his nature. He has to color it and mix it a bit of a lie. And so this becomes the scheme. Why does God allow that to happen? The Bible gives us the answer in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because people would not want to listen to truth. We want to be flattered. And so God himself permits this to happen. If I prime my mind to be that kind of person, I say, I really want to hear the kind of that would suit me. That I like the kind of so-called motivational messages around. People want to want their ears to be dazzled, and they want to be pleased with all these kind of. They don't want to be told what God has said, what God wants them to learn. Then God says that I myself will send you deception. Will allow you to be deceived. And so you see, you have to make up your mind. Do you want God's truth? Or you want to be deceived? If you don't want God's truth, lies will come. They will be tailored according to your tastes. And you will never know it. Anyway, my dear friends, I wouldn't want to be dwelling on that too much. But back to our passage in Acts of the Apostles. This is the sad condition of this young lady. It sounds like a scripture, man. And I'm saying, oh, you want to be a say, hey, yeah, no, yes, if you want to be a fino, a cochere, woman, a beer, or tete, one, or mom, yes, or my bodam, or your cra, a ma, or mo chashini, a kick, a kahuno. And then I get a house or more air, brepa. But on any one kind, but another kind, one, whom fino, a cochere, woman, or four. Omo yesterday omo nya ho din bi abru won kasa ho din so nte dia na beye hunam bia mu ho de yo ba ko Mark chapter 5 omo mun ho de esin said din pe be ho betumi ai na tin ana said akọ saw ba ye kan wan samo hai e manu hunu abre bo mu asam na obetumi o hia wo pen onim obebia obetumi aka se yeah, one more away that for more of a play trick. But you won't be sure, Sean, because I'll be to me. I come up, a woman, some of a but you're yellow crab, you say, a brebia, and now says Satan, all poor wanty, or what the under da ebefra, and me only Satan, I'm more demons, or they come to crop, no a crash, home to me, and you see, yes, a brebia, say, yes, they all come to crack a crumb part, and said, yeah, again, Subayan to celebrate. Nti, wadi yon so yon embwa ema ono, amon embwa wokra se, san se, kakran kakra, o di tia, ese eno kre kakra no ebe chun, ako tu, ni na da no. Nti, yon ko pwa sam se, da bidya, men yon ko shushe, e visa, omo muti se o, yon ko na se mo. So, bin pesa o kase fin yon ko pwa se mo, e che se, yon ko pwa en hain, en nini mo, o yon sun ni pa, nti, ente se yon ko mo muti, but, the part of my concern is this. Do you see, this is a very miserable young lady. And she's ever becoming hateful to God. And as I said, this thing will rob her. Because she's possessed with the devil, she will definitely grow worse. Her own life will become worse and worse. I don't know whether you've... you know, sometimes, unless it's not our business to be doing that, but sometimes if you met some of these persons, it takes time for you to know whether they were really a demon possessed person. Back in Cape Coast, usually they have this, like the Ohomoho here in Accra, that's in September, they are fresher there. And I don't know whether they do this or that business very much, because when we're young persons, because we're living in a place very close, in fact, virtually center to some of these activities, we saw some of the details of some of the things that they did. Around the times, they would go and have their idols bathed in the sea, and they would have their okonfo who comes round and dances and says all kinds of things. Again, we know some of them, their kids were really, they were tricksters. Others definitely have been giving themselves so much to Satan. Some of them would have easily fallen into the state of demon possession. But the reason I'm telling you is this. I have seen the lives of some of them in later years. And they are miserable. It is always a misery. Not only in terms of their physical condition, but the kind of lives they have to live. So they may seem to be super wonderful persons. They are actually being robbed by Satan. He's taking away everything beautiful. They will become, as I said, very powerful liars, deceptive. And they will become all the more insincere. And when people become liars, it ruins their character, doesn't it? And then eventually they become trouble causes in society. Because they will be pretending to say things about this secret and about that secret, and it will cause family members to clash. These things happen. And so they are not only a trouble to individuals, but also a trouble to society itself. Now, my point is this. Look at what is happening in verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying.
gay. Because she is bringing in money. She practices the suicide. Is that not what is giving some of these charismatic pastors all the money? And they like it. And they enjoy it. They go to the places. They deceive people to say, by telling them, you need to have a prophet. You must have your personal prophet. So that you go to him and ask him, well, I want to start a new business. Will I succeed or not? And then he would tell you, okay, you know, well, you are supposed to succeed, but some demons along the way who really want to frustrate everything. I and my team have to organize some fasting and prayer, 3 days and three nights, and really break every hindrance and pull down everything.
But you have to sponsor it.
And then, of course, even if they don't say it, it's obviously. So, they are the ones saying that, and you have to make promises. When I go my first trip, I give you the 10% or something like that. And they truly are making money. And this woman's, young girl's case is a picture. Because of the gain, nobody cared. Money flowed. You know, it's not true about demon-possessed situations only. In this world, that's what counts always. If something seems to bring gain, nobody seems to care what are the effects does it have on people. They don't care. It brings in money. It makes me live comfortably. It gives me what I want. And so what else should I worry about? You know how, I do not know how popular this is in Ghana, but in many world now, you know how you define success? That where that brings you all the money you want to live the way you want. Some time ago, I was listening to BBC, and there was this young lady who had given herself to prostitution. And it seemed they knew her, that she used to be a very sensitive girl that wouldn't really go around such things like this. And they were asking her, okay, how is the business? And she said, well, the business is booming, it's good. And they were asking her, but what made you get into the, we know that you seem to be sensitive. She said, you know that sentence, a very short sentence, because I wanted to succeed. Young persons, this is society for you. Anything that will bring you gain is okay. What it does to your character, no one cares. What it does to your standing before Almighty God, no one cares. What will happen to you in the future, no one cares. You see, if only brings in the gain, then everybody will applaud that. Now, there can be the very open, obvious one, but there are subtle ones also. If we talk about prostitution, everybody will frown, isn't it? But what about the life that I choose? And we engage in all kinds of lifestyles and do not care, and do not feel shame because society approves it. And not only society approving that, it brings in gain. It can be a kind of conduct that makes my friends love me and like me. And they make me their champion. I'm the center of everything. And I know what I have to do to please them. I must lie. I must be angry, proud person. Speak boldly as if I possess life by myself. And all that is okay as long as you bring in what we want. And the young man is happy. I'm a bold, confident person. He never realizes that he speaks as if life is in his own hands. He speaks as if he is. He made himself. And he's not answerable to anyone. And so gradually, he becomes a very, very super pompous young person who can never feel shame about sin. And then bold sins begin to come in. He'll be bold in sinning, bold in telling lies, bold in insulting, speaking against people, things like that. And he doesn't care. And his friends around will applaud. That's nice. That gives us our freedom. That gives us our independence. Everybody, this is the sword for you young persons. Like this young lady. As long as he brought in gain, everybody was okay. Is that how you define your life? Gain, advantage, benefit. And you never think of, but where does it leave me? What kind of person am I becoming? Don't you care about that? Do you shrug all that off? And you don't mind? Well, friends, the truth is actually throwing away the best of life. Because
these things will one day haunt you. What you've done and what you said, these things will come back. Conscience will recall them. And they will come back one day, my dear. You cannot run away from them entirely. So friends, who cares then? It took a man. Look at verse 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. It took a servant of the Lord to be grieved about the whole thing. It was okay for everybody. You will see that it seemed the entire, at least greater part of the society itself, was happy with that, happy with the girl and her doings. Only a servant of the Lord wasn't happy. He, Apostle Paul, could see the misery of this young girl. She's running behind Apostle Paul and saying, these are the servants of the Lord. We don't know what Apostle Paul had been preaching. We are told in there, as we go down, he had been preaching. We don't know whether she had heard it or not. At least, even if she had not heard it at all, it's possible, through soothsaying, she had known something of who Apostle Paul is. And she's saying, these are the people that are telling you about the way of salvation. These are the servants of God. And they show us, she includes herself, interestingly, isn't it? Then they show us the way of salvation. This was all superficial, because we don't know what happened to her, whether she herself came to faith in the Lord. But, verse 18, and when the Apostle Paul was grieved, he turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. I command you in the name of Jesus. Please, that is not a kind of a magic wand. To say that in the name of Jesus means I am commanding because the Lord Jesus has asked me to do it. And so it's not a magic wand where anybody can shout it off. Because in the name of someone in the scripture means at the express authority of that person. That person has authorized me to do that. It's Apostle Benefetti saying, you know, I'm authorized as an apostle of the Lord to exercise this power over you. You see that? So you can't go around screaming the Lord's name. That would be to offend the third commandment. Take not the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And then the demon came out of her. Only the apostle of the Lord could do that. What I mean is, only a servant of the Lord could be a blessing to the girl. He could see her grief. I beg your pardon, her woe. Out of grief, he could see the young lady's woe. My dear friends, do you have that situation in Accra here? I'm sure you do. Perhaps I may not have met it this much. Sometimes you have a young person who drops out of school at GHS and he finds a kind of a laborer's work somewhere there and is bringing in money to the parents. And the parents are happy for two reasons. Number one, the burden of caring for that boy is gone. Second, he brings in money too. And everybody's happy at home. Oh, who is the member of the family that will say, wait a minute, what will happen to this boy by the time he turns 20, 30? Who cares? Who will see through? Though he's bringing in the monies, who will see through and say, wait a minute, this boy is in a sorry state. His situation is sad. We should not encourage him. We should find a way to help him. We should help him perhaps to stay. And after time, we may take him to school, let him do some evening classes, something like that. Who would simply be entirely indifferent merely because the boy is bringing in the money? My dear friends, the beautiful thing in our passage is that a servant of the Lord cared. He knew without a demon cast out, this young lady would not even be able to listen to the gospel properly. And therefore come. Of course the Lord is able to overcome that when she wants to listen. And it takes the servant of the Lord to see this young lady's woe. And so the apostle didn't only see it, he acted upon that. He understood what was wrong with this lady. Oh my dear friends, you know, if pastors were supposed to be the persons that God wanted them to be, they would be the last persons to encourage you to bury your head in the pursuit of money. They would definitely encourage you to be hardworking, so you do not become a burden on people, to earn your own food and things like this, be able to support your aging parents, and some of these practical burdens we must bear, care for your children, because the Bible commands them. Pastors would have been the last persons to be talking the kind of things we hear all over. When gain becomes the most important thing, never at all. That's never God's mind. They're supposed to tell you that when you are possessed, not with demons. In fact, the blessing is when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he so stripped Satan of his power to possess that he cannot possess people at his own will unless we throw ourselves upon him. So he cannot. Those persons who actually engage in what we call spiritism and so forth may expose themselves to that. But the rest of us, he will possess us with covetous spirit, for example, money love. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of the things that will happen in the latter times, money love. People become lovers of money. They can feel that their heart breathes and lives upon money. And their minds are filled with that. They cannot think of any thoughts else except material things. He may possess our heart with these strong lusts for all kinds of things, for all kinds of unclean things, so that we cannot think about our souls and about God. You see, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and stood in the place of needy sinners and made his Father put upon him the penalty and punishment for sin, he did so that it can be proclaimed all over the world that your case, whatever has so obsessed you, whatever has taken you over and running your life, if it is not bringing you to the Lord, it's not a blessing. It's not a blessing. It's a war. It's a sad situation. The thing that has possessed your heart and is driving your life so strongly and is making you forget God is never a blessing. Would you see that, dear friend? Would you see that that is so? That's what the Apostle Paul was doing. So that this young lady will begin to say, and those around her, around the lady, will begin to say that this young lady was in a sorry state, and that she needed rather to be rescued from that condition rather than to be encouraged in that situation. That's what we are doing, my dear friends, this morning, is to tell you, friends, are you obsessed with something else? And you think that is life? So, you are throwing away your life. But you to me as you say, or that I am a dear uncle subai a hood or a fire umqua, so the young to me and grinning uncle Ponkra. She said the Nessica Jimmy Ashe would be a chimo. Yin Yasika cran so. Yin Yakakadia to say a Casadia Wahapa, Yamon can young person make kindly be on a view. And you may be a Satan sat and who yet deem woman in those things, sir. On one minute, saying, "Young couple, no man, young coin said, yet me should shake a crack." And no more shedder said, "Ye pray, ye should shed no be pian, my fear, jins, and mukra." It won't come first, and now so will your body. It's something young couple, no happening.
No, when I nam says won't tree rat, won't fall on corner and my rat here. Near the end, I mean, that some so and shall be alliance and what answers are what power one. It was with Pierre Grosso. As we been one said, then I ever did with Chisa, won't you make and maybe be a flower crown.
Oh, friends, this is quite sad. Years ago, there was a man, sorry to tell you some things in papers. This is a man who was struggling with a particular illness. It was a fairly serious illness. And it wasn't our church then, but it was the church that I was in before. So actually, so when we started Grace Reformed Baptist Church, he had gone away and then he came to visit again. So in that former church, that was a convention Baptist church. The church helped this man. So it was really a fairly inexpensive surgery. He had very serious problems with that. And so the church bore the cost. The man went through the surgery. They didn't really have to do virtually a reconstruction in parts of his body. And when he recovered, he started coming to the meetings. And then the man was lost. No one could see him again. At first he seemed grateful to the church, at least he was coming. And then after a while we couldn't see him. So when we started Grace Reformed Baptist Church, he came around. And he seems enthusiastic because some of the persons that led in the work itself, of course, were in this church, in Grace Reformed Baptist Church. So he wanted to come still, so he came. And there he seemed to be coming for some time. And this one telling you this. When he went away, at first, he seemed, that's when he was in that sad condition, when you spoke to him about matters of his soul and about God, he seemed to be so listening. He was all ears. He would listen so carefully, it seemed at least. And then when he recovered, then he became very busy. He had things to pursue. As he was pursuing all kinds of things, not even coming to church at all. Well, we know he wasn't converted, so we know these things could happen. So we were not surprised, but we're sorry for him. He wasn't coming to meetings. And then a few members tried to encourage him, and I was told that some persons went to him and said, "You don't remember what has happened to you in church, things like that." So he started attending the meetings again, but this is why I'm telling you this. Well, please, in due respect to everybody here, some of you may have what I'm coming to mention, but believe me, I don't know your circumstances, you may have difficulties, I don't know, so I dare not criticize you about that, even though I would wish that you would do better, because you come to the house of the Lord. It is this: the man will come to meetings, I will simply sleep. And you look at him and you pity him. You can go, you will go to church, but you won't do anything. You see how cruel Satan is? Do you want to go to church? He seems to say, "You want to go to church? Okay, I'll let you go. But I'll make sure you don't listen to anything. I'll make sure you don't hear anything." And then the man dies. A short while ago. Satan is cruel, my dear friends. He presents gain. He means mischief. He means evil to rob us, so we never think about God or about our souls. Dear friends, only the Lord Jesus Christ cares. Only He cares. And that care is shown in that gospel. When we go out telling people, the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. He died not only to wash you from your sins, to let you live a truly meaningful life. Not a life of merely gathering gains that will be lost by and by. He died that you will yourself, not what you possess around you, yourself will become a person who knows God and whose life is ruled by God and will be built up according to God's own mind. He will change your life, build your character, let you taste what it means to know joy and peace, and to know contentment of heart, and to have a purpose that will not be taken away. the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to purchase that for needy sinners. Don't be duped, dear friends. Whatever gains that there are today are only such as, my dear friends, may so blind your eyes to your inward woe and your inward misery. Don't be deceived. If you be sincere with yourself, you would know. You would know that even though I think I have all these things around me, don't I really have a trouble with my own heart and my own guilt and my own shame and character? Don't I see the kind of things I'm doing and involved in? Don't you see them, my dear friends? Here is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Apostle Paul said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, at the express authority and command of the Lord, I come to do this. That's what Apostle Paul meant when he said that. Can you see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? He can so throw away whatever possesses your heart and enslaves you, so as to set you free, so as to make you truly a person who will love the Lord and know God as your Father and live under His government. You will say it on your lips only. You wouldn't merely walk around God's people. You would truly relate to God as the living God, whom you have come to know that He is there, and He answers prayer, and He blesses indeed, and He guides through life indeed, and He brings comfort and joy and contentment of heart. Indeed, you will come to know life's real purpose. You tell yourself, I must go on with my work. I don't have to stop my work, but it cannot be my aim. I cannot make these things. I cannot make these things that merely bring me money my aim. There has to be a nobler aim. There has to be a higher aim, dear friends. Otherwise, our lives are so miserable. After all, when money has purchased everything for us, what else does it not purchase? It doesn't purchase character, does it? It doesn't purchase contentment. In fact, it throws us into discontentment. And so you see, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. At His express authority, He will suck the obsessing character, the obsessing evil. He will suck it from our hearts and set us free and wash us. If the Son of God shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed, truly. Only He can do that. And the Apostle Paul demonstrated that. Friends, come to Him. Come and use your life. Don't be duped by me again. They will go anywhere. They will soon be lost. They will soon become irrelevant. You will realize that there is something deeper in your heart no material gain can touch. Oh, come, friends, to find your life resting upon the Lord Jesus Christ, truly. To repent, to come, to yield your heart to Him and ask Him to wash you and to save you. Oh, my dear friends, then the Lord Jesus Christ will come as the Lord to govern your heart, and you will know what it is to say that God is there and I know Him. He is my Father. I can call upon Him. He will be near me. He will bear me through all life, no matter what happens. You'll be able to say that, friends. Not because you've learned it from preaching or just sounding the same things. You will say that with real, genuine conviction upon which your life truly rests. Oh, dear friends, come. My dear friends, let me just tell you something else and then I begin to close. You would think that this would have been a good news, my dear friends, isn't it? That this young lady who was possessed with a devil has been set free. No, it is not a good news for people. My dear friend, know why? And that's part of the reason why. It is not a good news even today in our nation. People don't want to hear about forgiveness of sins and a change of character and knowing God for themselves. They want to hear about, how can I get money? How can I climb up the ladder? And all these, some of them will come natural. Some of them, there's something that makes it sad. You can encourage a young person. Be patient. If God should spare your life,
Some of them will come gradually. It's only out of haste, out of a discontent that young persons are rushing to these things. But anyway, that's what the world says. That's what we want. We do not want God to know Him. If He's there at all, He should satisfy what I want. That's what you think. But that's foolish. Otherwise, He won't be God. He is God. His name and His glory means He must have preeminence over everything. Every heart must bow to Him. Everyone must love Him above all. That's what makes Him God. He's not there as a mere supplier. He's there to be known and enjoyed and to be trusted and depended upon, so that our hearts rest and our hearts are contented. You see? But when we are deceived, we think that's all He's there. So, will people be happy? No, look at what happens. Now, I'm getting through this quickly, my dear friends. Verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew him into the marketplace unto the rulers. You see, those who started it, the masters, what motivated them? Oh, the gain was gone. Their means of gain was gone. And so they were not happy. And so Paul and Silas become enemies now. And they throw them to the marketplace. And you see that the society and even their legal system was supported too. Verse 20. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. They are troubling our city. Oh, are they troubling the city? And look at what they call Paul's message, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. Don't you understand why today too they call Christianity white man's religion? It is somebody's custom. And you are imposing it on yourself. To say that we have to believe in the Bible is some Western idea brought in. We are traditionalists. Our comforts also have knowledge about things. So, this is somebody's custom. You are imposing it upon us. And woe unto those of us who don't dance in our services. They say that we should bring in the drums and all that. I've had to this. Sorry for this lightness, you know, these are serious matters. I remember years ago, there was a man who was going to talk about why we want to drum. As Africans, we want to drum. He said that, you know, the white man has technology, so he made the organ, the keyboard, so he can go playing all these things. And for us, we know that after we've eaten our goat, we can't throw away the skin. So we just wrap it around some wood, and then there we go, we have our drum. And so why should we throw it away? You see, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Anyway, well, so that it's a custom. If we tell people that the Lord has set and laid down a way, everyone, Christianity is a supra culture, above every culture, because the Savior is the Savior of the world, and the Scripture is above culture as well. So you see, you have no room for cultural things. Every culture, my dear friends, I'm sure you know, every culture, God in His kindness, every culture has something in it to remind it not only of God, but of the necessity of a Savior. At the same time, every culture has in it something that is anti-God. Not Africa alone, everywhere. Every culture is a mixed kind of thing. As they said, a kind of a hodgepodge of all ideas, every culture. And so when you become converted, then God's word becomes your light to run through your culture. You see, some of these things that remind you of God, it's, ah, it's there, let me tell people. And you see, it's anti-God too. I say, no, this is nonsense, put it aside. Not Africa, Lord, everywhere. Christians have to do that all over the world. So when people think that's a kind of an imposition upon us, it's not true. It's a lie. This is what these Philippians are doing here, people of Philippi. They are bringing customs that's not for us. We are Romans in Philippi. We're in Philippi, this is a Roman colony. You could become a Roman citizen, even though you don't live in Rome. And so we are Romans, and these people are bringing their Jewish. You see how wrong they are? Exactly as people are today. They're bringing their Jewish custom. Apostle Paul isn't bringing Jewish custom. He's bringing Christian teaching. They've gotten it wrong. And he was so confident. And based on that, they will punish Paul. and Silas. Look at 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes. They didn't even listen to them. They didn't listen to the arguments, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And so the jailer himself prejudiced against them. All that he was told was that keep them safely. Well, he thinks, if I put them into the inner prison, then they have difficulty running away. So he put them in the harshest place and made their legs into stocks. He put their legs into stocks. They are way over securing them at the time. This is what they suffered, merely because they are strangers, bringing foreign customs. My dear friends, I trust there's no one here who is believes that kind of wrong idea. Dear friends, we only urge people, as somebody told you, Christianity is a kind of a foreign religion, a foreign imposition. We say, read the Bible for yourself. Whether it sounds Western or Eastern or Southern or Northern, it sounds nothing. It sounds heavenly. Read it for yourself. Read it. Don't be duped. Don't let people who are talkative say all these kind of things around. Go and look at things yourself. The trouble is, you may not be encouraged to go and look at things for yourself. Oh, my dear friends. Now, I come to a close, friends. Look at what they did to these apostles. And they were the ones presenting the very best. The very best thing. One of the things that always surprises them. Why? Why is it that in this world, Christianity suffers the worst here? Why? And yet it carries the best message. It carries the message of love. Why is it hated? Dear friends, are you the Lord's here? Dear friends, if you are not converted, I'm sure you are a witness to this. Why? Why is it that if a person is your friend, somebody is your friend, if he brings up any discussion at all, you tolerate it. Immediately he brings in matters of Christianity, you want to shut him off. Or you may allow him today. Next time you'll be dodging him. Simply why? You know the reason? Our Bible tells us why. Because the message bears witness of itself in everybody's heart. Once we begin to tell them that they are sinners, hopeless sinners, unless they are rescued by the power of God, they know it. They know it's true. They know it cannot be denied. But they don't want it. They don't want the deliverance. They enjoy the sin. They enjoy the pride. They enjoy the gain it seems to bring along. As if they don't want it. But they bear witness in their hearts that this is the truth. This is God's truth. And I'm sure your own conscience will bear witness to that too. But my dear friends, how we invite you. Dear friends, all that this world would give you are these gains like these young women, young girl, but bear in mind, it doesn't care. It can't care about your soul. It can't care about what happens to you. When the day of death comes and you must face your Creator and your Judge, no one will be there. No one would answer, here is the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, his message says, don't think of earthly gains first. Think about your soul. Think about who you are before God. Think of the thing that has possessed you now. Today, not a demon, but some sin, but some very sad character, an ambition that is really blinding your eyes from the Lord. Think about that. And he's able to set you free, bring you out from that state, to be a child of God, to love God, and to follow after Him. Would you listen, friends? Would you come? Or are you offended, thinking, these are foreign things, these are not the kind of things I want to listen to? While we plead with you, that would be a big mistake. This is the very thing designed by God to set you free and to bring you to a really meaningful, good life, which God, your Creator, purpose that we may taste forgiveness of sins, a new life that brings me to communion with God, to know God for myself, to love Him, to truly depend upon Him, and to be governed
by His will and mind. That is how we should live. And that's what real life is about.